You are now rocking with DJ F, exclusive Connecticut's finest female DJ.
One for real, baby. You ain't got shit I need, bitch. You want me to take my time with you, or maybe I'm not your speed, bitch. Maybe I'm not your lead, bitch. You ain't got no cheese, bitch. Maybe I'm just too G for you. Maybe I'm just too street, bitch. I can even roll a P, why? Everybody notice me, yeah. I can even go to sleep, why? I'm rolling on a beam, yeah. They tried to give me eight out on my knee, like Jesus, please. You don't even believe in Jesus. Why you got a Jesus beat? If you wanna leave, just leave. But you ain't gotta lie to me. Say you gon' blast for me, yeah. Why you ain't show me none of the love you say you have for me, yeah. We're going through tragedy, bitch, I need you drastically, yeah. I'ma just switch my flow up, yeah. Maybe I'm sick, no throw up, yeah. Maybe I'm sick, no check up, yeah. Boy, you need to ride your check up, yeah. I'm eating on your niggas, no catch up, yeah. I'm eating on your niggas, can't catch up, ayy. Hit a face down with an S up, ayy.
Ain't for me, baby. You ain't got shit I need, bitch. You want me to take my time with you, or maybe I'm not your speed, bitch. Maybe I'm not your lead, bitch. You ain't got no cheese, bitch. Maybe I'm just too G for you. Maybe I'm just too street, bitch.
I can even roll in P, why? Everybody notice me, yeah. I can even go to sleep, why? I'm rolling on a beam, yeah.
They tried to give me eight out on my knee, like Jesus, please.
You don't even believe in Jesus. Why you got a Jesus beat? If you wanna leave, just leave. But you ain't gotta lie to me.
I ain't gon' fuck the nigga bitch, cause I know she a heater. Last time I wiped the bitch, I told the world I beat him. But when they locked up for that gun, my nigga, I couldn't believe it.
Hello, shorty, all my word, I'm up with no girl poking, yo. Hit him in the back, let him be a blitter, said that I knocked through a period on.
I'm gonna have that poker, huh? Still looking on my shoulder, huh? Fussing with a nigga, no, he older, huh? That mean a young nigga got war on me.
You ain't got shit I need, bitch. You want me to take my time with you, or maybe I'm not your speed, bitch. Maybe I'm not your lead, bitch. You ain't got no cheese, bitch. Maybe I'm just too G for you. Maybe I'm just too street, bitch.
I can even roll in P, why? Everybody notice me, yeah. I can even go to sleep, why? I'm rolling on a beam, yeah.
They tried to give me eight out on my knee, like Jesus, please.
You don't even believe in Jesus. Why you got a Jesus beat? If you wanna leave, just leave. But you ain't gotta lie to me. Even the blind can see, but you ain't gonna ride for me. You ain't showing me the love you say you got for me. You lied to me, you said that you gon' ride for me.
What's goody, it's your girl, DJ Exclusive of the Nothing Podcast and Everything Lit. And this is episode 113, Y'all Doing Too Much. I'm gonna go ahead and drop a bomb on that one. I'm being completely honest with y'all. If I was a lot more consistent and I did the pod every week, hell, even every 2 weeks, we'd probably be somewhere around episode 250, episode 300. But I'm gonna be honest, I choose myself over this podcast all of the time. But if I'm being laser honest and super honest, I gave the podcasting space a break because it seems like Connecticut only supports popularity. And the wild shit about that is the support be fake. Like, I don't understand how y'all think tagging 99 people in your post so you could get a sympathy like make y'all feel like y'all podcast lit. When the numbers of views on your videos don't match the likes. When the comments on the videos don't have nothing to do with what you actually talking about on the pod. You know what that tells me? These niggas is not listening to you. They not watching you. They not fucking with you. But because they might smoke your weed or get drunk with you. In public, they go ahead and drop a like. See, for me, it's in reverse. Niggas see me all up and down their timeline all day, whether they're members of Everything Lit, whether they're following me, whether they're friends on my social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, somewhere on the internet, they are aware of what I'm doing. But they also feel like, oh, her fan base is small. People don't fuck with her. They've been in groups where niggas is talking shit about me for whatever reason, mostly because I said their music is garbage or whatever they doing is garbage. So because they can't say the same shit about my beats, they can't say the same shit about me, they just decide to withdraw support. It's kind of hard to support somebody who you know for a fact think that you personally are garbage, and I get it and I understand it, but I don't support that kind of shit. But that is what it is. There's a lot of people that are aware of me, whether they're aware of me based on my government name, where I'm from, or they're aware that I make beats, they're aware that I DJ, they're aware of all of the shit that I'm into, so they try to do it. You know what I'm saying? I could think of so many niggas, they want to rap, they want to make beats, they want to DJ, they want to start Twitch streams, now they want to start podcasts. It's almost like every single thing I do, it's a bum ass nigga from Connecticut trying to do the same shit because they think they're going to get further than I am. They think that people fuck with them more than they fuck with me. So whatever the bum ass idea they got is going to propel them. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Y'all niggas' content is garbage. Your personality is garbage. You're not funny. You don't know half the shit that I know about the music business. You're not in tune to what's going on. Many of y'all, when you get into debates on social media about the same shit that you try to podcast about, and you're getting out debated, you like to say, well, I don't even give a fuck. So if you don't care, why the fuck is you wasting your time and trying to take up space in this culture when y'all don't fuck with it? The same niggas that had everything to say about Wendy Williams and you talk all this shit, calling niggas chatty patties. You didn't understand the Joe Budden podcast. Only thing Joe Budden was good for was Pump It Up. Now all y'all niggas want to do podcasts. I don't get it. I really don't understand how y'all could spend your whole life talking shit, but then behind closed doors, really wish you was a nigga. Yeah, I said it. Behind closed door, you really wish you was me. You really wish that you was unapologetic and you didn't give a fuck what people said or how it may affect you or what it may do. But you live off passion and God is telling you, yo, I made you to be this way. Regardless of who fuck with you, regardless of who don't fuck with you, they're all watching you. And trust me, they learning, they taking notes. Everything about y'all podcasts are garbage down to what y'all naming them. And it's really, really funny that y'all get in my inbox. Yo, how did you start your merch? How did you develop your store? Yo, how do you do this? How do you do that? And then I try to give y'all niggas game, but y'all niggas can't even say, yo, shout out to Fxclusive. Y'all niggas can't even share the shit and let niggas know, yo, real talk. Mo help me develop my brand. And you know why? Because if you had to do that, then all of the people that you talk about me to and all of the shit that you say behind my back, it will become to the light. Yeah, y'all don't want to admit that y'all talk about me and you say all of these things about me behind my back. So because of that, it's hard for you to fuck with me on a regular basis. And I get it. Stay woke, because that's what it's like that for a lot of y'all. So if y'all feeling like you posting shit and you getting all of these likes, but the video actually only got 3 views, just know them niggas didn't really click the video. They're not engaging with your content. And if anything, they trying to leverage what little clout on social media you got for whatever they got coming down the pipeline. That's why I don't allow y'all to post y'all flyers and y'all bullshit in my comments. Get that shit the fuck out of here. It's a nigga that hit me up talking about, oh, I want you to produce my EP. I've sent this nigga several beats, not a single song has come. And the one song that did come, that shit wasn't it. I told the nigga to do the shit on a different beat. Sent the nigga the beat, the shit never came. But what do I see? Oh, the nigga talking about he gonna do the same exact shit. The nigga gonna go do an EP with somebody else. But the nigga also wants to now start a podcast. The nigga want to have a right. It's like, yo, make up your mind, pick a struggle. What the fuck do y'all niggas want to do? Because I'm really, really sick of it. And this is exactly why Connecticut is where it is. It's a bunch of swagger jacking, non-original motherfuckers, and it's corny. But enough of that. On this episode, I'm gonna talk about Carly Russell. I'm gonna give my commentary on that finally. I'm gonna talk a little bit about this Keefe D situation because I'm not even really sure why they're still pretending that they want to investigate the Tupac and Biggie murders. Shit's kind of crazy. Definitely got to get into Dwight Howard because Dwight Howard been in the news a lot lately for some sketchy shit. And there's other things that I want to tap into, like the white on white crime that's going on out here in Connecticut. Even there's a Connecticut McDonald's franchise that has been in the news because their Big Mac is $18 and everything on their menu is crazy. There's a few things that I want to address between how social media influencers are a bad influence to just different things that has been going on while I've been away from the mic. So with no further ado, I bring to you the pod. Let's get it.
Now to new questions about Carly Russell's disappearance. Her boyfriend is talking about what happened and asking people to stop bullying her. Eva Pilgrim joins us now with the latest. Good morning, Eva.
Good morning, Lindsay. There are a lot of questions this morning, and police say they think only one person can provide those answers, Carly Russell herself. They are urging her to speak with them. The theories as to what happened growing. Now, one of those closest to her coming out on her behalf.
This morning, as questions swirl around Carly Russell's disappearance, her boyfriend speaking out, defending her. Russell claims she was kidnapped but escaped to return home 49 hours later. Tamar Latrell Simmons telling the New York Post, "I want everyone to stop bullying her. I know what it seems like, what she did. Just stop bullying on social media." Adding, "Think about her mental health. Nobody deserves to be cyberbullied." Simmons had recently removed all traces of Russell from his social media pages, including a since-deleted Facebook post that said she was literally fighting for her life. Russell told authorities she saw a child walking alone on the side of the interstate on her way home on the evening of July 13th.
Okay. What is he wearing?
It's a white t-shirt, and it doesn't look like he has any pants on. It looks like a diaper.
The 25-year-old nursing student saying a man and woman forced her into multiple vehicles blindfolded, but eventually she was able to escape through some woods. But Hoover City authorities saying investigators could not corroborate any of her dramatic story of survival.
As we've been unable to verify most of Carly's initial statement made to investigators.
According to police, Russell allegedly made strange online searches, looking up the maximum age for an Amber Alert, a one-way bus ticket, and the movie Take It.
Now, police say she returned home with $107 in her sock. As police wait for more answers from Russell, ABC News confirming she's already been fired from her job.
Shout out to Carly Russell. I mean, she's a real MVP, man. She's the real star here. We can say whatever we want to say about her. We can talk down on her. We can crack jokes. We can make our memes. We could do whatever it is pertaining to Carly Russell that we want to do. But the reality of the situation, she is the real winner here. Does anybody know your name? Does anybody know my name? Are we famous? Are we popular? Are we known for anything, even if it is fucking up? Probably not. In most cases, if you are listening to this podcast right now, you're probably not known for nothing. Nothing that got you national news all over the place, right? I say that to say, when you die, all you got on your headstone is the day you were born, the day you died, and then there's like this little dash in the middle. And many of us, our little dash ain't shit. But some of us that have purpose, that, you know, that have goals and ambition and just want better for our lives, we out here every single day trying to make something on that little dash in the middle matter. Whether you exercising, you're writing your rhymes, you practicing a skill, you're trying to develop a skill, whatever it is that you're doing on a day-to-day, what that really is you're building a legacy. So your little dash in the middle could be more than a little dash in the middle, right? So if Carly Russell don't go on to do anything else with her life, her little dash in the middle gonna be the one that tricked half of America into believing that she was abducted and possibly sex trafficked. But that was y'all niggas. Cause let me tell you a little bit about some woke niggas. Woke niggas wasn't falling for that shit, my nigga. I was not falling for no bitch in the middle of the road in Alabama. You want to know the wild shit? I didn't believe the shit when I first heard it. And when I first heard it, I thought the shit was in broad daylight. When they dropped the video footage and I seen the shit was blacker than Wesley Snipes in an all black hoodie and a black Nike tech at 3 a.m, I was like, oh nah, get this bitch the fuck out of here, bro. You cannot be motherfucking serious right now. Like, are we really serious right now? Bruh. And then when the analytics start coming out, like, they talking about she drove the length of 6 football fields, and we all have seen toddlers and how they do their little weeble wobble. They don't even stand up straight. Ain't no way a toddler walked that far. It's like niggas allow theyself to believe anything when it's a black person. And then when a person like me come out and be like, yo, that shit is bullshit. Like, y'all believe anything. They be like, oh, you a hater. You always want something bad to happen. No, I kind of want y'all niggas to stop being dumb and stop being easily manipulated and stop always being quick to believe shit. Cause then it turned out to be a hoax. It turned out to be on some other shit. Now, for me, the only reason she somewhat almost got me is cause I'm sitting here thinking like, well, what's the motive? What is this that she has to gain from this? You know what I'm saying? Even before her parents did the press conference and all of that, I'm sitting here like, what value to her is it to convince me that someone tried to abduct her and whatever? But to find out it was all of this bullshit between her and some nigga is just absolutely ridiculous. The way y'all be dickmatized off some dick be crazy. For you to stage an abduction because you want your nigga back, that shit is crazy. The leaked text messages where she's telling some bitch that she's poor and she's rich and she's beautiful and the other bitch ugly, she'll never add up to her. They done fucking verified that she unblocked and refollowed the ex-boyfriend while she was supposed to have been abducted. The whole situation with the Cheez-Its, like everything about this shit is almost giving government psyop. Like, what the fuck? And then I've heard several times that, you know what I'm saying, old girl family is affluent, right? Meaning that they got money, they come from something of importance in Alabama. I haven't confirmed who her people are, what they do, how they got their money. Only thing I can confirm is she told 911 that she was in a red Mercedes Benz. So obviously there's money somewhere. You know what I mean? It's just like I told old boy, in my opinion, I felt that she was on a dummy mission as it pertains to being madly in love and losing that person that you love. I want y'all niggas to stay woke here. We are not gonna sit here and act like we all ain't been in love, right? And we all haven't come to a place where we did the most to get our baby back. And when I say we've done the most to get our babies back, niggas done made fake phone numbers because they got you blocked on everything. They done made fake social media pages to follow so you could send DM. You know, you just trying to get that conversation so your baby will talk to you so you can win them back over. I think that we've all been there. And if you try to say that you ain't never been there, chances are you are probably lying. We've all been a fool and a sucker for love before. But I think it's safe to say none of us have gone to this extreme where it's seeming like she has staged this abduction to make old boy sympathize and feel sorry for her and come back for her after they have already broken up. Listen, that is a new level of debauchery. I'm not mad at her though. We all gotta do what we gotta do. We don't choose lovers. The heart wants what the heart wants. But what I do want is for niggas to stop talking about, oh, you need to check on her mental health. No. There's nothing wrong with her mentally, okay? She had an idea and the shit was stupid. Don't act like we don't have friends or even ourselves that decide that we want to do some stupid shit. She did some stupid shit and went viral and got national news. To me, she's no different than Gorilla Glue Girl or whatever you call her. All of these dumb viral sensations that end up in the wrap ups at the end of the year. That's what these bitches are to me, real talk. I actually understand right now we're in the clout era and niggas is doing everything for clout. But and I'ma stand behind what I said when I said I don't think that she necessarily did this for clout. Not the type of clout that she got. She only wanted clout with her ex-boyfriend. She wanted her ex-boyfriend to feel so sorry and be like, oh my God, I just want her to get home safely. And then when she did return, they will kiss, make up, have all that rough makeup sex, and then she will go on like nothing happened. But here's the real tea, though. Here go the real tea. The real tea, she was an AKA, she done lost her letters. She got fired from her job, which I'm gonna be honest, they could have fired her just for stealing from the business alone. You know what I mean? And talking bad about the company on social media. So it's not even about whether or not the company fired her for what she did. She could have got fired for breaking the company policy. You know what I mean? And if her family really is affluent like they claim that they are, she might not have to answer to the public. She might not have to answer to police, but she's going to have to answer to someone in the back end, in the background. Her life is going to be severely, severely affected. And there ain't going to be no going back to where she is now. It's going to be what it is. You know what I'm saying? Now, I would like y'all to jump in the comments and let me know how you felt about Carly Russell. Like, do you think that she did it for clout? Do you think that she was just really trying to get the attention of her ex-boyfriend and trying to mend their relationship? Because word on the streets is he scrubbed his social media of her. You know what I mean? And even prior to him getting on his social media saying, you know, she had to fight for her life and everything like that, they were not together. She was allegedly cheating on him, which is why he left in the first place. You underdig? Now, what they're saying in the streets is she was fucking around on somebody else. He found out and he moved on. Whatever she had going on with old boy was just a fling. She wasn't trying to take it there with them. She really wants her other guy back because he is also college educated, pretty handsome guy. Chicks seem to dig him. Social media following done went from normal shit to like 40, 50,000 within a weekend. He was really out there supporting her even though they had already broken up. So I would love to know what y'all really think was on her mind and what she was feeling behind the scenes, because if you ask me, I really, really don't think that it was for like, oh, I want to go viral, I want everybody in the world to know what's happening. Because if that was the case, I think she would have thought it through just a little bit better. I don't think she thought that through. That's why it didn't work out the way that it should have. You know what I mean? She thought little shit through, like, hanging out at Target for a certain amount of time, you know what I'm saying? Making sure she was out of the car, and anything that could lead police to her or her whereabouts were left in her car. I mean, I feel like she thought some parts of it through, but I think she underestimated the ability of investigators. And I would love to know what y'all think.
Yeah. I told you.
Get the bag and flip it and tumble it. Yeah. Straight off the lot, 300 cash, and the car came with a blunt in it. Yeah. La mama a thot, and she got ass, and she gon' fuck up a bag. Yeah. Pull up to the spot, living too fast, dropping the stash. In Italy, got two foreign hoes, they DM me. Drop the top, when it's cold, but you feel the heat. Be real with me, keep it 100, just be real with me. Eat it up like it's a feast, eat it up. They say the dope on fleek. Yeah.
Percocet pill on me, I saw my nigga, baby, chill with me. Don't say nothing, them niggas are kill for me. Back as I count on my sleep, on fleek. Honey can't spend on that patty for me. Bitch, I'm a dog in my tree. Hop out the frog and leap. I put them bricks in the fender. My bitch, she walk around like she Chris Jenner. I used to break in the animal. Then take a runner like the game of Temple. It's simple, I play with a mantle. Mama said she saw me on Jimmy Kimmel. Canada, cause I'm a money symbol. Walking with the rats, I'm looking crippled. Fuck on that bitch, then I tipple. A nickel for me to take pictures. Not for my leg, but I clip her. Double my cup or a triple. I'm not your average or typical. Look at my wrist and it's critical. Hold it up, dropping the temperature. I get that bag on the regular. I got a bag on my cellular. Back in the bag of them vegetables. Bag of them cookies, it's medical. Cocaine, codeine, etc. Cocaine and lean is federal. I take off landing on Nebula. I think that's when it ends on my schedule.
You get the bag and fumble it. I get the bag and flip it and tumble it. Straight off the lot, 300 cash. And the car came with a blunt in it. La mama a thot, and she got ass. And she gon' fuck up a bag.
Investigators, a Valley home searched in connection to the Tupac Shakur murder investigation nearly 27 years after his death. Thanks for joining us here at 6. I'm Denise Valdez.
And I'm Brian Loftus. Metro Police confirming they searched a home as part of their ongoing work to solve who killed the rapper and hip-hop icon. 8 News Now investigator David Charnes breaking this story. David, what are you learning tonight?
Right, Denise, sources telling the 8 News Now investigators this search involves Dwayne Davis, also known as Keef D. Davis speaking publicly about the night Tupac died in videos on YouTube and in a book. It's a murder that shocked the world of music. 25-year-old Tupac Shakur shot four times inside this BMW in this intersection near the Las Vegas Strip in September 1996. He would die from his injuries 6 days later. A2's Now investigator Vanessa Murphy speaking exclusively with paramedics in 2016.
We brought the gurney up.
Over.
Just pulled him out.
Mm-hmm. Pulled him out. And that's when, you know, that's when everybody was yelling, Tupac.
Over the last 27 years, Metro Police have made no arrests, suspecting a rival gang targeted the rapper after a Mike Tyson fight. Someone in another car shot Shakur. The question, after all these years remaining, who was it? Sources telling the 8 News Now investigators Tuesday, the warrant served at a home in Henderson Monday involved 60-year-old Dwayne Davis, also known as Keith D. He's made several public statements about a possible shooter. Sources say detectives may have been looking for writings or documents connected to a book Davis recently published. People at the home declined to comment Tuesday, warning things could escalate should we stay outside or record them. Right now, nobody is in custody, and a quarter century later, police have never filed charges in this case, a case Metro says it is determined to solve. I'm David Charnes, 8 News Now.
Our CBS affiliate in Los Angeles reporting Davis is on tape confessing to being in the car with the shooter. Nevada does not have a statute of limitations in murder cases.
See, now this might not mean nothing to y'all, but any true Biggie fan or Tupac fan done got so deep in the conspiracy of their murder that there is no information that can come out all of these years later except for an arrest. Okay? The reason why I wasn't even going to talk about this is because if you know, you know. There are so many documentaries, some of which are free for you to watch on YouTube anytime you want, about Biggie and Tupac, most notably the Rap Game or the Murder Game or whatever the fuck it's called. I think it's called the Rap Game, where really is the first time where Keefe D gave his full story. And guess what Keefe D was given for that? Immunity. That's why that nigga's not in jail. I don't understand why they raided this man's house when he sat right in a federal building and said the same shit that he said to Vlad, that he'd been going around for the past 10, 15 years saying. Everybody know at the end of the day, Orlando Brown is the one that pulled the trigger on Pac. Now, this is whether or not you believe all the conspiracy theories, whether that Pac is not dead, everything was staged. If we're gonna skip that and we're gonna talk about what your common folk talk about, Tupac got murdered in Vegas. Orlando did it. Orlando was later murdered in California. At the end of the day, I think everybody knows and everybody understands the murders of Tupac and Biggie had everything to do with a beef and a confrontation between Puff and Suge Knight. It don't have nothing to do with Pac and Big, no matter how much you want to put the lyrics and the songs and the antics and all of the bullshit that Pac was doing. One of the reasons I don't fuck with Tupac now is because Tupac was the first rapper to do anything for clout. You could be a fan of him, you could fuck with him, you could be mad at me for saying it, but Pac was the first rapper to do anything for clout. Pac knew all of the shit that he was saying about Bad Boy and about Puff and about Big wasn't true. He should have been focused on Jimmy Henchman and Haitian Jack, because those is the niggas that he really had problems with. But because those were some real niggas, some real in the streets niggas, he moved his issue elsewhere. And when it come to Suge and Puff, they had beef ever since Suge best friend got murdered by Puff bodyguard. We all know the history. And it just so happens that Puff hired a bunch of Crips to protect him, protect Bad Boy. Those same Crips got real street issues with Bloods, which happened to be Death Row. Like, the whole shit between Big and Pac, Suge and Puff, that shit is long gone history. Suge is in jail. He's never coming home. Puff is a billionaire, way out of reach. He got fuck you money. Ain't nobody gonna prosecute him for these crimes, because to prosecute Puff would be to prosecute niggas that are either dead or you have already given immunity. This is why no matter how much shit Gene Dill get on the internet and say, no matter what we believe, them fake raiding Keefe D, all of this shit is just to keep that conspiracy, that bullshit alive. Notice Snoop didn't have nothing to say about it. You notice nobody that be really connected to these people on a real level say anything about the mainstream bullshit. Like, why the fuck would you decide that you want to raid Keefe D's house in 2023 when he been saying this shit? And what's the point of raiding a nigga house if you're not going to arrest the nigga? I don't understand all of the headlines. They talking about, oh, he talked too much. He finally crossed the line. Nigga, when? This nigga been standing behind the same story. Nothing about what Keefe D is saying now has differentiated between his full confession tape that you can find in these documentaries. I mean, if you really want the bottom line of it, Puff put money on Suge and Pac, and the same niggas that Puff was going to pay to take care of Suge and Pac took care of Pac on some other shit that didn't have nothing to do with Biggie. Pac did some dumb shit and ended up getting involved in some gang politics unbeknownst to himself. When you flip the page to Big, Puff looking at it like, yo, yeah, I put the money on Pac. Yeah, I put the money on Suge, but you're not going to come try to collect from me when you know you bodied that nigga on some personal shit. You did not do that for me. That wasn't you, yo, Puff don't like you, black cat, it's a rat for you. It wasn't that. So I guess on some real G shit, Puff was like, I'm not going to pay that. I'm not paying for that. And niggas is like, oh yeah? All right. So unfortunately for us in hip hop, we got to lose Big. We lose Big essentially because somebody didn't cash a check for what they did to Pac. And that's a done deal. That's it. And I guess anybody that's still alive, that was a fan of Pac and Big, that fuck with that music, I think we all have come to a place where we know, we understand it, we accept it. It is what it is. What are we going to do about it? Nothing. You just got to accept it. So my question is, how do y'all feel about the industry continuously telling this story, putting little shit out there, making us as the fans feel like we gotta keep on chasing these breadcrumbs and rabbit crumbs toward the solving of the infamous Tupac and Biggie case, when at the end of the day, I don't think that anybody wants to solve that case. Nobody's ever gonna go to jail. I mean, at the end of the day, like, who? Nobody, either they're dead or they're just out of reach. So there's no point for me as a fan of Big for them to keep on doing this. Now, I do understand that Big Mom is alive and she probably wants to see justice come to her son before she passes away. But I think even somewhere deep down inside, his mom kind of like understands that, I think I know what happened here. You know what I'm saying? I think his mom is like, I understand what happened there. And I can't force that no more. It is what it is. But that's just what I feel. Y'all let me know what y'all feel.
It's senior drama correspondent Tiani Kardashian, and you are now rocking with DJ Exclusive of the Nothing Podcast and Everything Lit. And when I'm not spilling tea with the certified tea sippers and all my blogs, I'm like it I, I'm listening to DJ Exclusive and the Nothing Podcast.
This is New York. Fuck, I look like telling a nigga good morning. Fuck, I look like being nice, sweet, charming, and warming. Get the fuck out, New York. You ain't welcomed anymore. Get the fuck out, New York. We ain't feeling you no more. Back the fuck up. Move the fuck back. What the fatty do? And I'm ready for whatever. I don't gotta pick and choose. Shut the fuck up, cause you know you ain't like that. That nigga slapped you in your face and you ain't fight that. You's a pussy, ushy, please don't push me, scary ass nigga. You's a itchy, itchy, little shrimpy, hairy ass nigga. All my life I never seen a nigga come from me. But a few times I made a couple niggas run from me. I'll take the biggest nigga in your crew and make them hunt for me. These niggas lunch to me, they can't smoke the blunt with me. Where the hood niggas at? That be trapping on the block. Where my thot bitches at? That's gonna make the pussy pop. Don't come to Bronx with that shit, cause we ain't fucking with that shit. Don't come to Brooklyn with that shit, cause we ain't fucking with that shit. Don't come to Queens with that shit, cause we ain't fucking with that shit. Go to PA with that shit. I ain't got time for that lovey-dovey shit. All that heartwarming, how you feeling? Give me huggy shit. Bitch, I don't wanna smile. Bitch, I wanna cry. I don't wanna see him live. I wanna see that nigga die. I'm trying to make a nigga pop lock. Make a nigga top drop. Niggas gonna feel the shit from BX to Far Rock. Shit is getting hard for me. Fuck is niggas thinking? They said they better than me. These niggas must be dreaming. Back the fuck up. Move the fuck back. Back the fuck up. Move the fuck back. Back the fuck up. Move the fuck back. Can't you see a baddie coming through? Bitch, room. Can't you hear the baddies coming through? DMX.
Nigga, try catch me in the drop.
Where's my dog?
Nigga, try bumping from a rock. They ain't know I ain't the block. Now everybody getting shot. Nigga, try catch me in the drop. Nigga, try bumping from a rock. They ain't know I ain't the block. Now everybody getting shot. Fuck going on left.
Where you going?
Fuck going on. Killing niggas at the gates. Since a younger nigga, I've been drilling niggas, mom, so I'm stuck up in my ways. Ain't nobody ever gave me shit, but this big tip I had to get paid. And it's 10 game going stage. And you know the trees getting laid. Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the money to stay in the lead. That's why I'm over retarded.
That's why I'm over retarded.
Baby, welcome to the party. Huh? I hit the boy up and then I go skating and roll it. Baby, welcome to the party. Bitch, I'm a thug. Give me lit. Gun on my head. One in the head. Send it a clip.
It's not up for debate. I'm not gonna talk to y'all niggas. Y'all don't do what I do. This is not a podcast. This is a motherfucking experience. Fuck you, hold my dick. All y'all wanna do what I do and you can't. You can't duplicate greatness. Stand back, take a picture. Hit me up, ask me to come on your shit. Let me lift you up. Let me build you up. But stop trying to break me down. I am that, you are not. Fuck out of here. What you thinking about? It's the Nothing Podcast. Let go.
Everybody know this hey, your boy Kwame. Holding it down for DJ Exclusives. Just spin it, man.
Yo.
But it's all good. Bust out the wrong
face, ass fatter than Selena. Dark girl, real tall, break necks, have you seen her? And I make them eat the like he a cannabis eater. You know what they do with me, frontin' like you cool with me. Trickin' niggas, robbin' niggas, this ain't man, you's a bitch, come around with the same shit. On the same corner, with the same dress. Really fucking up my nerves, cause I'm trying to understand. How you looking in that mirror and believe that you're a man? See, this the shit that make your body hot, shit that make your body drop, shit that get your body shaking, shit that get you molly hot.
Take him out, bring him out, dead, dead. Shine him up. Hey, hey. One gun, two gun, three gun, four.
Raise a plate, you see your profit rising. Still learning the algorithms and monetizing. Not condoning the mumble rap and the harmonizing. Forefathers of rap, I'm apologizing. Been quiet, ain't nobody really dropping. A couple funerals and get the city back popping. A nine on the dope and get the city back hopping. If you see me in the club, I got the pretty black glockin'. Yeah, so don't get too feisty, cause I throw the stocking over the pool shiesty. My best advice to you is move lightly. Stay ready on your heels, you too icy. All tough guys play the bathroom. They looking for fire, I put the gas to them. Bullshitting while I'm trying to talk cash to them. Especially since the corner's the new classroom. Congratulations, jail of death is graduation. It all really depends on your infatuations. This is D-Boy Pimmin' shit. Brunch with the plug, C-Bash, finish dip. Yeah, real intimate. Cigar and a glass of vino, big business shit.
Gossiping or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Right. Now, before we start, Charlamagne, are you going to help me do this report? Oh, what you really want to say to me is, Charlamagne, are you going to role play with me? Oh, are you going to role play with me? It depends. Okay, hold on. Yes, you are. I see you got the paper. Hold on. Let me tell a story. So Dwight Howard is sued for assault and battery by a man he allegedly met on Instagram. Now, the man's name is Stephen Harper. We'll say allegedly. He's filed a lawsuit with wild claims against the NBA star. Harper said he took an Uber to Howard's home. While he was on his way there, he said that Howard texted him asking if he would prefer a threesome with a dude or a girl. Harper said he noticed Howard on his phone texting someone when he got there. A few minutes later, he said a man arrived dressed as a woman and called themselves Kitty. The suit claimed Howard began to rub Harper's thigh and stroke his eggplant through his underwear. Why you can't say penis? How you act like that's a curse word? Say penis, bro. He stroked his penis through his underwear, allegedly. This is all, by the way, I don't know if any of this is true. We're just reading the story. This is just all blog nonsense. Right. Well, it's a court document. Oh, it's a court document? Yeah, he filed a lawsuit. Okay. Harper said that he looked at Howard and shook his head no and verbally told him no. Despite the alleged protest, Harper said Howard continue. Harper said he told Howard to stop, which led allegedly Howard to be angry. They said the defendant stood up, grabbed Mr. Harper by the thighs, forcibly removed Mr. Harper's underwear, and held Mr. Harper down and performed non-consensual oral sex on Mr. Harper. All right. Now, we also have these DMs, allegedly. So I'll be the top one, and you'll be the bottom. I will. First of all, I don't even know if I want to play this game with you, number one. But if we did play, I would absolutely be the top, and you would be the bottom. That's a fact. All right, well, let's go. No. What's up, sexy? No, I'm good. You already did the story. Move on. I'm cool. There's no need to do this. What's up, first sexy? First of all, I don't even know if these text messages are real. Text messages are the easiest things to fake nowadays. What's up, sexy?
None, you?
What's helping my sister? Oh, wait. I got to go. Oh, here it goes. I'm sorry. Just starting my day off, about to shower in a few.
Eye emojis.
I got you. What you have planned for today?
You and ATL. We play today.
Yeah, I stay in Atlanta.
I'm not. It ain't even juicy enough, to be honest with you.
It gets juicier.
All right, let me see. All right, let me see. Go ahead.
All right, so we'll fast forward. ATL for the, all right.
You got to say, you have some, now he goes, you send a picture, you send a photo, I put my tongue emoji, my tongue emoji, you go.
All right, man, yeah, I don't want to do that.
You have some, come
this
on.
Is stupid.
You go ahead, you got to go. You have some what shots, go ahead.
I don't know what that says, it's bleeped out.
It's you, a C word.
C word.
You.
Oh, like.
Rhymes with bum.
Yeah. Oh, Gamecocks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, boom. You have some C shots, LOL.
I don't. I can make you.
Man, this ain't real, man. I just want to see your eggplant emoji.
I can't make you
like that.
I can make you some personal ones, though.
I just want to see your eggplant emoji.
I got you, sexy.
All right, man.
And you tag me in when you need me. I'm here.
Wow.
So Brandon, our producer, actually did the research.
Wow.
Is with us.
Go please, Brandon. You.
Hey, yo, listen. I'm not gonna hold you. I don't know how long. Y'all gonna let DJ Envy and Charlamagne be straight fudge packing faggot ass motherfuckers right in your face. And listen, as a lesbian, I want y'all to be very, very clear. I'm not saying that like there's a problem if either one of them are gay. Be very clear. I'm saying that because the same people that support them tap into the Breakfast Club every day be the same people that be like, oh, fuck Saucy Santana, I can't fuck with that. Fuck with this gay person because I can't fuck with that. And y'all throw shade at the community, but low-key people that y'all support and y'all big up be very big and very integral parts of the same community that you be acting like you don't fuck with. But you know what? I digress. This ain't about whether or not Envy and Charlamagne are gay. I just want to point out that they get extra gay and extra excited when the T be gay. But whatever. This might not mean nothing to y'all, but shout out to Everything Lit and everybody in my crew. I remember going back and forth with a member. I think his Facebook name is like Casey Solo. Somebody from my city, but somebody I don't remember. If I know him, it's in passing. Ain't no shade. He cool. He don't disrespect. He fucks with the content. So I fuck with him. Shout out to him. But I remember me and him having a conversation when I had posted Dwight Howard and I had said, hey, this nigga gay. And not only is he gay, he a bad daddy. He don't be standing up for his children. You got him in child support court because he not taking care of his responsibilities. He's a piece of shit. And he said, well, I don't know that. I don't know that. But as a father, I fuck with this here. And when I say he fucks with this here, the post was essentially this nigga pushing his adolescent child way too far physically. But whether you agree with pushing your kid beyond where they think their limit is versus not doing that, that is a different debate. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is Dwight Howard and how everybody's known that he's been suspect, he's gay, he's different, he's been acting funny. I don't know about this nigga, and it's been on that type of timing for a very long time. And I think niggas been acting as it pertains to that, and I'm wondering why. Niggas be real quick to out somebody. Niggas be quick to out people. But you got him blowing in people ears, looking mad gay. You know, he got baby mamas exposing him. He living different. He out here in the streets living very dangerously. Listen, I'm not here to go back and forth whether or not he's gay, how you feel about him, whether he's a good basketball player. By the way, I just want to say, it's crooked in that area. You know what I'm saying? He is mid when it comes to basketball playing. He's not the best. I've seen better basketball players. But with that being said, how do y'all feel about all of these accusations? At what point do we start calling these niggas out for being pieces of shit humans? How long do we let niggas just do shit? Like I've said on other podcasts in the past, it don't even be how niggas feel. Because in some aspects and in some situations, real talk, I understand it. It be the select outrage for me. It be how what's good for this person is not okay for that person. This person can do this, but that person can't. But it be the same shit at the end of the day. It's the ability to pick and choose how you feel about the same situation and circumstance depending on what celebrity is doing it. Like if y'all found out Beyonce was wrapped up in child trafficking, you would be so okay with it. But when it's somebody that you've already been programmed to not like, it's not okay. Like I could sit here and talk about how Joe Biden is literally guilty of everything that he's trying to accuse Donald Trump of, but y'all think Joe Biden is good for you and you think Donald Trump is bad for you. Here, listen, I'm not here to make you decide what you believe politically. What I'm here to do is to make you understand you gotta dig deeper than what they feeding you in the mainstream media, because what they're giving you in the mainstream media is that look at me. They're not showing you what's really happening, and what's really happening be shit that y'all be swearing up and down that you're against and you don't want to see happen. Like for example, today, July 24th, 2023, your boy Trump is doing quite well in the primaries. It's looking like your boy Donald Trump is going to be the forerunner for Republican president. And you know what? They're running the same blitz that they did on you with Obama, what they did with you with Trump in the first time, and what they did with you with Joe Biden the last time. They basically exhaust you. They make you angry. They make you frustrated at the current leadership and the current government, where you vote the opposite way, but it's already programmed, baby. It's already set up. The agenda always be before us. By the time we know what the agenda is, it's already set in stone, and what's gonna happen is happening. But I digress. What do y'all think about the Breakfast Club constantly being gay for no reason? And what do y'all think about Dwight Howard and the gay rumors, the lawsuit, him not taking care of his baby mama? And if you don't know nothing about the baby mama situation, let me go ahead and roll a clip real quick. Because you know what? I don't think y'all know about the baby mama situation. And I'm talking about that as if I told my following. I'm sorry if the mic rattled for y'all. I'm talking about that mic's. Excuse me. I'm talking about that baby mama situation like I've exposed my fans to it. I might not have them. So let me roll a clip real quick.
I told Dwight that I was pregnant. He did not return any of my phone calls, none of my messages for 2 days. When he did respond after I spoke to his best friend, he said I was asleep. Meanwhile, he was playing a game in Milwaukee. He thought I was lying because I still had my belly ring in. This man offered me a massive amount of money to say that Braylon was not his, that they would pay for my house, they would pay off any debt that I had, that they would give me a certain amount of money a month if I said that it wasn't his. I said absolutely not. I was then harassed by his family because on my baby shower invitations, it had his last name. Magic contacted me and wanted me to come and take the paternity test in their offices. Absolutely not. My attorney said hell no.
That's actually an excerpt from a 20-minute live that one of Dwight Howard's baby mothers, aka Royce Reed, did with his actual sister on Instagram Live. It is on YouTube. You can listen to it in its entirety when she details some of the struggles that she has been going through over the years. If you're not familiar who Royce Reed is, she was a cast member of Basketball Wives. She's been around in the reality TV circuit. She's also done a few underground movies. Nonetheless, most notably known for being Dwight Howard's baby mom. Him and her has gone back and forth. She's been arrested over alleged neglect charges. It's just been a lot of issues between he and her as they struggle to co-parent. And the issue with Dwight Howard, it's not about his sexuality. It's not even about whether or not he's a good father or not. It's just, for me, once a person starts to get an abundance of bad press, an abundance of negative press, and a whole bunch of shit that they try to decline and try to act like it's not happening, I tend to believe it's a real thing and it's actually happening. And I don't really tend to, I don't generally fuck with people that I believe are not good people. And it's not that Dwight Howard is a bad person, because I don't think he's a murderer. He's out here trying to hurt people. But I also don't think that he's a stand-up individual. I think he's on the down low. And I think that his willingness to take care of his children that he makes is contingent on his baby mothers willing to do exactly what he says. If they're not willing to comply and live their life according to what he has said they have to live their life by, then unfortunately Dwight Howard seems to be the type of nigga that just might not take care of you or the kids that he makes with you, while you, i.e. the baby mother, was fully aware of his secrets and you held his secrets down just like you held him down. But whatever, that's here nor there. I want to know how y'all feel about Dwight Howard. Do you think he's a deadbeat dad? Do you think he's on a down low? Do you think he is wrong as a father for pushing his kid to levels where many people would say, hey, you're doing too much? Get in the comments and let me know what you're thinking about.
News now at noon. We have just gotten this video into our newsroom. Body cam video from a shooting involving a Manchester police officer on Sunday. This happened at an apartment complex on North Main Street as police responded to a domestic disturbance there. We want to warn you, you may find this video disturbing. You can watch the suspect, Joseph DiLoreto, charging at the police officer. You're not going to hear the audio here, but there are words exchanged. The officer says out loud that he is armed with a knife. And at points, the man yelled at the officer to shoot me. DiLoreto drops the knife after being shot in the thigh. He's going to be okay. We have much more on this for you as we go through this video and determine exactly what it is showing and seeing, and what we're seeing as it comes into our newsroom now. We'll have more for you on Eyewitness News starting at 4.
I ain't even gonna hold you. There is a high level of white on white crime that goes on in Connecticut, and not even just Connecticut, all over the world. But the thing that I don't want to say bothered me about this story, but I would say caught my interest and made me kind of want to talk about it for a couple of minutes, is the fact that if you watch this video, this man is yelling at this woman, woman being a police officer, and continues to come at her with a knife, wielding a knife, like, get the fuck out of my house, all of this extra stuff. And she's very, very calm through the whole thing. I want to applaud her as a police officer, especially with dealing with a man that's bigger than her and has a violent weapon and is coming toward her and didn't even respond when she tased him. Because, yes, she did tase this man, and he still keep on coming. What caught my attention about this is she shot this man in the thigh. And the reason why that caught my attention is because, as we know, when it comes to black men, Spanish men, they are being fatally shot, and the police officers, who are in often cases men, much bigger then the victims claiming that they were afraid, they didn't know what else to do, they had no other option but to open fire and then murder someone, whereas you had a woman who clearly had no backup. It didn't appear that she had a partner with her. There was a man inside of his residence, meaning Lord knows what he could have got to, what he could have done, what type of danger she was actually in. And she managed to stay calm. I wouldn't say she de-escalated the situation, because the man kept on coming, and he didn't actually stop until she shot him. But the fact that she was able to shoot this man in the thigh and he's still alive, she got to go home to her family, it kind of makes me think. As a conservative, I'm quick to say, you know, when the police shoot a black man, it's not always because he's black. But when you turn around and you watch situations like this one, where it's a white man clearly in the wrong, no question about it, he's in the wrong, and he gets to walk away from the situation. He hasn't been murdered by a police officer that claimed that they were afraid and they didn't know what to do, and it's not no big situation where the police officer has to go to court. It just really, really makes you wonder, are some of those shootings that we hear about racially driven and racially charged? I like to say that they're not, but when you see shit like this, it makes you feel like, maybe they are. But on the flip side, if you want to play devil's advocate, I honestly believe the state that I live in, Connecticut, is probably the majority white. So with that saying, you got the majority white people community and white police officers policing a majority white community. So maybe it's a different type of policing happening here versus white police officers policing a majority black area where there's a lot of gang violence, a lot of criminal activity. I don't know. I'm not here to justify police brutality and police murdering black people. I do think it's a conversation when you could watch a body cam video of a police officer in clear and present danger, and the man, who is happens to be a white man, gets to walk away from the situation without being fatally injured. It's just a question, and I just wonder what y'all think about it. So get in the comments and let me know.
A McDonald's off a major interstate charges more than $17 for a Big Mac meal.
The location off I-95 in Connecticut is considered the most expensive McDonald's in the country. That's because franchise stores can set their own prices. A Big Mac without fries and a drink costs $8.95. The meal is $17.59. A double quarter pounder meal costs about $19, and the sandwich alone is nearly $10. Plus, a cheeseburger that usually is found on a dollar menu will cost you $17 for two. And if you use Uber Eats or DoorDash, add an extra $10 to $20 to your order. No, thank you. I like McDonald's, but not that much.
I ain't even knocking they hustle. See, this might not mean nothing to y'all. If you're not from Connecticut, then I think I need to let you know that this is like a plaza that's off the highway. So it's like a truck stop. It's like a food court in the literal middle of the highway. Not to justify the price, but I could certainly understand. And this is one of the reasons why, if you watch the movie The Founder, which is about the actual origins of McDonald's, you'll understand why the original creators of McDonald's never wanted it to be a franchise, never really wanted McDonald's to evolve into what it has become. Because of this type of stuff, you can't really control the market and control the environment when you are giving different ownership rights to people based on their franchise contract. And I'm gonna keep it real with you. When you got a location in the middle of the highway where in some cases it's the only place a person's gonna get food, there's nothing else open, or maybe there's another McDonald's but it's several miles away, you're definitely gonna get your money. You know what I'm saying? I have gone into this McDonald's and have turned around and left because of the prices. So it's very interesting that just now it's starting to catch public notoriety and people are starting to finally talk about it when their price has been like this for ages. This ain't new. So shout out to the news finally saying, yo, this McDonald's over here on this highway is raping and pillaging and robbing motherfuckers, because that's literally what they doing. And they charge you when you go in there for water. They charge you a couple of dollars for just a cup of water. If you want my advice, don't go to that McDonald's. And if you're going to be traveling up that highway, make sure you stop and get food at whatever city that you in prior to leaving, because I promise you that McDonald's is going to get all of your money. And that is real talk.
Marcellus, my husband, your boss, told you to take me out and do whatever I wanted. Now I want to dance. I want to win. I want that trophy. All right. The dance good.
Phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Hey, shorty with the long text, I don't talk. Shorty with the long legs, she don't walk. Yeah, last year I kept it on the tuck. Hey, 2020, I came to fuck it up, yeah. I want a long life, a legendary one. I want a quick death and an easy one. I want a pretty girl and an honest one. I want this drink and another one, yeah. And I'm troublesome, yeah. I'm a pop star, but this shit ain't bubblegum, yeah. You would probably think my manager is Scooter Braun, yeah. But my manager with 20 hoes and Budokan, yeah. Hey, look, Ariana, Selena, my visa. It can take as many charges as it needs to, my girl. That shit platinum just like all of my releases, my girl. Niggas come for me, I tear them all to pieces, my girl. I'ma show your sexy ass what relief is, my girl. Please don't take no shit that's got that how you geeking. And I'm not driving nothing that I gotta stick the keys in. Wonder how I got this way, I swear I got the bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yo. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs, I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Watch her, said she rep a whole different block, so I blocked her. Busy at the crib, cooking salmon with the lobster. If we talking joints, it's just me and David Foster. Bodyguards don't look like Kevin Costner, you tweaking. Just pulled up to Whitney Houston, Texas for the evening. They tell the same story so much they start to believe it. The ones that start like Drizzy shit was cool, but we even. Man, how the fuck? 2, 4, 6, 8. Watch this factory so they appreciate. Crown in my hand and I'm really playing. Keep away. Shit don't even usually get this big without a beaver face. Nah. Piece of cake. Nah. Turks and cake. Yeah. Go and get your friends. We can sneak away. Yeah. Keep up. Like I keep the faith. Wonder how I got this way. Swear I got the bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter. Yo. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star. Not a doctor. Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yo. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor.
I really want to bring it up. I'm not talking about the sex.
Oh, then let's bring it up.
I want to talk about how there are episodes with him, like I said before, instigating black beef that could potentially lead to black death. That. And he's monetizing that. And it is the most disgusting shit
that was crazy
that I've seen. Yo, two episodes came up recently. One of them is a gentleman, I think his name is Ruga. And I think he's one of Dirk's ops. And supposedly Dirk went on to Academics' platform and addressed the guy Ruga. So Adam brought Ruga onto his platform. And Adam said that right before he sat down, he's like, yo, I don't want to go into no street shit like that. So, but he said, yo, we could talk street shit. I knew his angle. He wanted me to talk about Dirk. And so he started trying to coax him into talking about Dirk. And he was like, yo, I don't want to talk about that. And you could see Adam got mad. Like, he got visibly frustrated, like, oh, word, you want to do one of these interviews? And then he started saying, well, yo, if the dude said mad shit about you, you don't want to clap back at him? I'm giving you an opportunity to clap back at him. And that's what I sat here and told this motherfucker, that you are instigating these people going at each other. I don't give a fuck if they already had a longstanding street beef. If you played 5% or 10% into that, you are complicit in when something happens to one of these 100%. Niggas. You should be held liable for that. Then he sat on another platform, and it was Crip Mac.
And
J-Main is his name. And he just sitting there laughing. Ooh, like they got the split screen.
That was ridiculous.
They got the split screen. Adam's at the top, and the other two gentlemen are beefing at the bottom, threatening each other's lives and talking about each other's mothers and grandmothers and everything. He's sitting there like, making jokes. And they've roasted us when I said this shit before about what he's doing in our culture that he can easily go pivot from with his millions of dollars and leave these motherfuckers to be still killing each other after he's profited off of the fucking deaths. He's a piece of shit, dog.
But people let him in their culture.
I don't give a fuck.
No, you got to take them, hold them accountable too. They let them. They choose to go up there. Nobody's taking a stance. They let him wave the fucking carrot on the string.
True.
They let that.
Now, obviously, that's Ish's opinion and how he feels about Adam. The way I look at it is that Adam does not force any of these guys to get on his platform. These guys know exactly what they're getting with Adam. Adam has already shown you his true colors. If these grown men decide to still affiliate and still rock with Adam, we gotta put the blame on the guys. Adam is in media. He knows what type of content his audience wants to see. So obviously he's going to do what's best for his business. To me, it still comes down to Adam being white and the guys not agreeing with a white guy profiting off of black people. Because later on, Queens Flip also came out and said, well, I used to do that type of content, so I understand it. But because I'm black, I could get away with it.
I'm going to turn the camera on over here and let you get some shine. And I'm the only one willing to turn the camera on for you. Fuck it. I'm going to go over there.
Sure.
Have at it.
I mean, I had my fair share of bullshit on the internet, having people do bullshit. I had my fair share of it. So I understand what goes into it and you know, using certain tactics. I know. I get it.
The repercussions are different, bro.
You have a different understanding of that shit, too.
Nobody is not resulting in death. The shit that you are doing, nobody could potentially lose their life because you flipped over a table.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about way more. That's what I'm saying.
Pardon me.
I fly different people out, put them in the crib. It's way more shit that I do that I can see. It's entertaining. People subscribe to it. My Patreon went up when I was doing it a lot because people wanted to watch that bullshit. Nine different people. And you bring them all in one house. And, you know, but I'm black.
Now, here's Adam's response back to Ish and Joe.
I just listened to the Joe Budden podcast and heard this one fucking idiot just saying so many stupid things about
me. Idiot? You're not talking about Joe.
No, not Joe.
Joe's not an idiot.
One of them idiot co-hosts is.
Flamed Joe ass up, didn't he?
I mean, he tried. He took an L. He's still kind of salty about it.
You
go watch the episode where I went on Joe Budden's podcast. You want to see a white boy eat alive a whole room full of old heads.
Joe's not going to allow himself to be fucked up.
I think at that moment, Joe realized that he might not be the GOAT that he thinks of podcasting. And actually, I might be the GOAT. I only got 500,000 views. Should have done it on my platform. I would have gone way crazier. But two hours, 40 minutes, truth bomb featuring Adam 26.
Why you be hating on Joe? You know, Joe say he getting more money than you.
How? How's he getting any money?
Get the fuck out of here.
He got a Patreon and he got an amp deal.
Come on, bro.
What?
Are you saying Joe broke?
I just wonder if sometimes when I see him spending a lot of money on stuff, I'm like, where's that money coming from? Ish. I don't like that name.
What you mean? What's wrong with Ish? It's just a kid's name.
A weak ass name.
See, this might not mean nothing to y'all, but I was raised on Rockefeller and Dame Dash. See, I was outside in the prime of the Rockefeller era. And I say that to say, I think that y'all are taking Dame Dash's God-given definition of culture vulture and making it whatever you want to make it. And I think in 2023, the term culture vulture essentially means anyone that is not black monetizing black culture. And I feel like a lot of black podcasters, commentators, and people within the industry like to throw rocks and hide their hand. That's why I give Queens Flip mad props for saying, you know what? As a podcaster, as an entertainer, influencer, personality, whatever you want to consider him, I have done this. And I don't like the way Ish sat there and tried to tell this man what he has done is not the same. How are you going to tell this man he ain't did some of the same shit? As a person that used to watch Flip's podcast, he has absolutely done the same shit. He had Preem's son up there instigating a beef between Preem and 50 and Preem's son and 50's son. He has certainly instigated beef on his podcast and on his platform that could have led to some real street shit. So for Ish to sit there and excuse Flip to try to throw Adam under the bus because he simply doesn't like Adam, that's that selective outrage that I was talking about earlier that I cannot fucking stand. Joe Budden and the Joe Budden podcast has sat there and had commentary and discussed shit that could have gotten real several times. Joe has had interviews and talked about people. He even had Pusha T on his platform talking about Drake. Let's not act like all of us as podcasters, entertainers, commentators, bloggers, whatever you want to call yourself, let's not sit here and act like we don't all talk about shit that unbeknownst to us can get real outside of our commentary. Let's not do that. Now, if we want to say, I don't like Vlad, I don't like Adam 22 because they making way too much money and their sole focus seems to be the drama, the bullshit, I could kind of ride with that, because the same way that I said, hey, I've done it, Flip has done it, Joe Budden has done it, several other black platforms has done it, at the same time I could say we don't all focus on that. We talk about several things. I talk about politics, I talk about religion, I talk about, you know, pop culture. I talk about shit that females may be interested in. I talk about producer community. I talk about a lot of shit. So I definitely can honestly say unequivocally that I don't focus on drama. And in fact, when it comes to the street shit, I'm the one saying, yo, that shit is stupid. Pay attention. I'll be the first one to say, yo, shout out to Kodak Black for doing a song with 6ix9ine, because regardless of his reasoning, regardless if he did it because 6ix9ine gave him $1 million or just because he fucked with 6ix9ine. Don't let these motherfuckers dictate to you what to do and how to take care of your family and how to move based on their street politics. That shit is fucking stupid. That's why Gunna is outselling Young Thug, because this generation is finally starting to say, why would I subscribe to some shit that's going to end up leaving me dead or in jail? That's not going to take care of my kids. That's not going to take care of my family. Me being in jail is not a flex. Do I fuck with Adam 22 and No Jumper? No, I don't. It's just never been my cup of tea, mostly because Adam gives a platform to people that I don't particularly care about. Like, I don't listen to Trippie Redd and all of those SoundCloud people that he gives a platform to. But on the other side of the token, I respect what Adam 22 does, because Just like they said on the Joe Budden podcast, hey, if I'm going to put a camera on you and I'm going to raise the awareness of you and I'm going to have people fucking with you that don't even know you exist, I can't knock that. I think that is awesome that Adam 22 gives a platform to a lot of these young artists that nobody would know of any other way. And I can't call Adam 22 a culture vulture because just like so many other people, he has monetized Black culture. I feel like we as Black people need to start holding ourselves accountable. We can't report it and talk about it if you're not fucking doing it, period. If you're not doing it and it's not happening, I can't report on it. I can't be mad at Adam 22, who understands his audience, who understands the people that listen to him and support his platform, and knowing what these people want to hear from him. That's called smart business. I can't be mad at DJ Vlad because it's a cycle of motherfuckers going to jail after appearing on DJ Vlad. If y'all are the ones that subscribe to that street code, then y'all should be the ones knowing when you're fucking talking too much and when you need to be quiet and when you're doing too much. If a motherfucker is getting paid based on you doing too much, why do we want Adam 22 to stop his money? Because y'all don't know no better. That sounds dumb to me. That doesn't make any sense to me. Do I agree with what he was saying about Joe Budden and the Joe Budden podcast? No, but do I understand it? Absolutely. This is the views game. I'm going to respond and I'm going to go back and forth because it's going to get me views. I think people that respond to this and create the conversations around this, they somehow forget when you are in the content business, that's how you get paid. You get paid off views. You get paid off impressions. You get paid based off the people that is pulling up and listening to what it is that you have to say. And if you're not saying nothing compelling, if you're not saying nothing of interest, these people are not going to listen to you. And then you're not going to get the views. You're not going to get the monetization. You're not going to get the ad revenue, so on and so forth. What I think needs to happen, I think we as a culture need to realize Black news, Black culture, it is money. Period. If we're not going to be keeping the same energy about these big platforms like People Magazine, TMZ, and all of these other platforms that exploit Black culture and don't do nothing for Black culture, don't put no money in the hood, don't help people, then we need to keep that energy all the way around. We really need to stop selecting the people that we don't like regardless. Doesn't matter what they're doing. And we need to start saying, yo, this is a bullshit practice. And it doesn't matter who's doing the practice. I don't support that practice. And then stand up against that practice, period. Not just if it's Adam 22 or Vlad. But hey, who am I? I'm just a podcaster with an opinion.
It took care of everybody around me. You explain to me how Wallow and Gilly got $100 million worth of game. For everybody else's kid, you can see the downfall of Young Thug, but you couldn't see your son in the street getting his snot box rocked with all that jewelry on.
Listen, if you're not a fan of $1 million worth of game, then this just might not mean nothing to y'all. But unfortunately, you know, Gilly the Kid is currently mourning the loss of his oldest son who was tragically murdered in Philadelphia. And my first thought of when I started to see it all over the internet was, why is this news? Why is this something that is being reported? Let this man and his family mourn in peace. It's not like Gilly's son was a celebrity, famous. It's not like the world needed to be alerted to his murder, because essentially murders like this get people such as myself and commentators, podcasters, leaving commentary on street shit. When somebody get murdered and gunned down like that, That is not an accident. That is not a case of being at the wrong place at the wrong time, mistaken identity. That is a murder. And when it comes to this podcast shit, when it comes to this blogging and journalism shit, commenting on murders is dangerous. And it's not something that should be done. You know, we need to let law enforcement be law enforcement and do what they do. I'm not here to talk about whether it's okay to snitch. If it's not okay to snitch, who could snitch, who could not snitch? Listen, fuck that. What I am here to say is, though I don't like Hassan Campbell, though I think Hassan Campbell is extremely disrespectful, and somebody gonna rock his shit one day, and then we gonna be on YouTube talking about how he got his snot box knocked out and how his lights got turned off. But until that day, we gotta deal with this motherfucker, right? But on one strange, rare occasion, because it's very rare that I agree with Hassan Campbell, and this is one of those times, I agree with what he's saying. Because shout out to my boy Lansky, and I'm gonna make sure I tag him in this, because he was one of the people that I was having a conversation with online when he had shared Waylo in this $100 million car or $100,000 car, however much the car cost. And I was like, yo, that's a lease, that's not his car, they don't got it like that, trust me. They don't have it like that. They are flexing. This is the flex era. People get online and they do all kind of shit because they would like to appear as if they get in it and they live in a certain kind of lifestyle so they can keep up with people that actually are. Without making this about Joe Budden, who is unequivocally the king of the podcast, Joe Budden has had the same car for several years. Joe Budden has had the same watch for several years. He's lived in the same home for several years. And we all know Joe Budden is getting to some money. I remember listening to an episode of the Joe Budden podcast where he said he make a little bit over $2,000 a month just off of Pump It Up alone. Now, y'all listening like, oh, that's not a lot of money, but hear me out. $2,000 a month is the equivalent to minimum wage. There are a lot of people that live where I live in the state of Connecticut where the minimum wage is $15 an hour that don't even see $2,000 a month in payroll, and they are surviving off of that. You understand what I'm saying? Joe Budden sent his oldest son to college. His youngest son is probably first grade kindergarten age, which I'm sure he goes to private school. I am pretty sure ever since Joe Budden been getting to some money, his kid's been far away from the ghetto. So when Hassan Campbell was like, how you got $100 million and you signing all these deals and you're getting all of this money and you want to call everybody broke, but your son is in the hood getting wrapped up in hood booger bullshit. How does that make sense? Something is not correlating. And when you was going back and forth with Joe and he was talking about your little jail window, and I was even making comments of like, the way y'all cables is lined up, the way y'all cameras is set up, the way your whole podcast environment look, it's not giving money. It's not giving $1 million worth of game. And anybody that's in this podcast business and you're looking up to other podcasters and you're filling it out and you watching how the culture work, you know that Gillian Waylo done sold off percentage after percentage after percentage after percentage after percentage of their podcast. They don't own shit. Will I call them niggas broke like they bank account look like my bank account? No, absolutely not. But the way that they try to act and the way that they try to compare themselves to other motherfuckers, That's where I gotta be like, yo, do y'all not realize that that is all cap? Them niggas is not getting it like that. And I'm really getting sick of being the only person to stand up and say, yo, yo, y'all niggas be fucking with these niggas and y'all be bigging them up and y'all be acting like these niggas be with it and they got so much going on, but they are pulling the wool over your eyes constantly. All of these niggas do is lie and front for y'all motherfuckers. But yo, I digress. I'm getting sick and tired of trying to be the one to get y'all niggas to understand, yo, them niggas that y'all be championing and y'all be like, yo, they this, they that, they're really not that at all. At all. Now, you already know what we like to get into when we about to wrap the show up, and that is rapid fire nothingness. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on in rapid fire nothingness is the fact that both Lil Durk and Lil Baby, they're having a real hard time selling these concert tickets. It could be because the price of these tickets are outrageous, quite ridiculous. And it could also be that one, Lil Baby recently just had a tour. His fans just seen him. And rappers like Lil Baby, they don't have much of a stage show. And it could also be the prices of these tickets are kind of high. And also, these albums aren't as good as they pretend they are. See, y'all can hold on to them fake stats. Oh, the day that the album comes out talking about it's number one on iTunes. Duh. Duh. Everybody's listening to it. But y'all don't come with those stats a week later. A week later, once the album has been out and people have already listened to it and experienced it, they leave it alone. They don't come back to it. Why don't y'all start talking about that? Stop talking about what people think about the album the first couple of hours that the shit been out and start talking about it after it's been out for 2 to 3 weeks. The story starts to look a lot different. Dirk came out and said J. Cole ate him up on a little feature that they got together. Not another single has come off of that album. We ain't heard shit from Dirk. Niggas was talking about, oh, he back on lean. Dirk told y'all himself that he's off of lean. He ain't been on lean in a while. Y'all gotta stop thinking the best out of these niggas and realize, yo, they're entertainers. They're owned by the industry, and they gonna tell you whatever is necessary for them to tell you. But at the end of the day, please believe most of that shit is a lie. It's all bullshit and you can't believe it. Now, shout out to Kevin Hart and Mike Epps. It looks like word on the street is they have patched things up. They are friends again. I love to see it happen. Now, Beanie Sigel out here talking about he want to use AI so he can get his old voice back. Listen, tell that nigga to shut the fuck up. I love Beanie Sigel. I do. He put Jadakiss in a body bag. Probably the best Jadakiss diss ever recorded. One of the best diss songs ever recorded. But don't nobody want to hear Beanie Sigel in 2023. It's just not that thing. We're not in that culture. And I don't even think people that are actually fans of Beanie Sigel want a new Beanie Sigel album, especially knowing that you're using AI. It's not the same. AI cannot create the emotion. And I know that Beans think that it was his voice that we was fans of. No, it wasn't your voice, Beans. It was the emotion. It was the feeling that we got when we listened to your music. Please leave the AI alone. Now, this might not mean nothing to y'all, but your boy 50 Cent is on the internet talking big, heavy talk about your boy Jay-Z. He said Jay-Z can only thank Beyonce for his Grammys. Now, I think 50 has an argument here with this because Jay-Z has over 20 Grammys, but he only won one of those prior to marrying Beyonce. One Grammy in 1999, all his other Grammys came after 2004. Take that with a grain of salt. Take that information, be with it as you may. You may believe that he got all his Grammys because of Beyonce, or you might just say, hey, Jay is very talented. He earned those Grammys. He deserves those Grammys. Me personally, I think that two things can be correct at one time. I do think that Jay got a lot of his Grammys and a lot of his recognition because of his marriage to Beyonce, but I also feel like Jay earned them Grammys. He worked very hard. A lot of his music is very memorable. It's classic, and it's still selling to this day, so it's kind of dimming his light and taken away from his star power by trying to say, oh, he only got that because of Beyonce. I don't like shit like that. Jay marrying Beyonce probably was very smart and probably did help him in a lot of ways, but we're not gonna say that Jay is not talented and he don't deserve them Grammys. Now your boy G Herbo, hey, if you're not a fan of him, this might not mean nothing to y'all, but your boy say he's doing good and he's just fine. But I don't really think he's doing good and he's just fine since he accepted the plea deal. And any day now, he will be turning himself in to serve 5 years for scamming. See, let G Herbo's story be a lesson to y'all niggas. Y'all like to pretend that you got it. You like to pretend that shit is going good for y'all. Y'all like to look a certain kind of way. When the reality is, all of them images that you putting on the front for other niggas, broke ass niggas to be exact, you're really broke yourself. You don't got to try to impress other niggas. Be who you are. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, G Herbo, he going to go do his time. He'll probably come home after a couple of years. He probably definitely won't do the whole 5 years. But, hey, he still got to go to jail. Because when you do the crime, you're going to do the time. Shout out to YNW Melly. I wouldn't say he beat the case, but he won close. One case, one close. He is one step closer to beating that case as he got a mistrial. Now, see, the thing about a mistrial, he's not acquitted. He don't get to go home. They get to try him again. But now the defense pretty much knows all of their evidence. So when you come back after a mistrial, it just makes the defense stronger than it already was. And if the defense got them to come back as a mistrial the first time, I don't know. It's looking like Melly may get to walk away from this. I don't really know. We gonna keep you posted, of course, of course. Now, I'm about to get up out of here, but I also want to send some shout outs to the family of Jamie Foxx. I know I made some comments about him, and I'm gonna be honest, the video that was released, he looks very dry. He looks like he's missing his eyebrows. He don't look like himself at all. And I understand that he's sick and he's, you know, been recovering. He's been in some type of rehab, but I'm gonna be honest, the shape of his head is a little different. Everything is a bit different. And after watching that movie, They Clone Tyrone, listen, I don't really know how I feel about the way Jamie Foxx looks right now. I just want to say, you know, I'm glad that he's with his family, if he is with his family. And I'm glad that he is not, that we're not standing here, you know, saying rest in peace to Jamie Foxx. Whatever is going on with him, I hope that he gets well and that he's better in the future. But hey, I can't speculate if that's Jamie Foxx. If it's not Jamie Foxx, all I know is he doesn't look well. If that is him, he doesn't look well. And I do hope that he can get his pigment back and that he can start to look a little bit better. Shout out to all my fans that continue to fuck with me no matter how many breaks I take. Shout out to anybody that logs on to DJFexclusive.com, even if it's just to look and see if I got anything new up there. Shout out to anybody that follows me on any one of my social media platforms. It's always a pleasure. I love rocking with y'all. If y'all love rocking with me, thank you for showing your love. This is your girl, DJ Exclusive of the Nothing Podcast, Everything Lit. This was episode 113. Y'all doing too much, and I'm out.